Dirt Life Show with your host, George Hamill.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Dirt Life Show. We got an awesome show for you guys tonight, Thursday, and we're doing a Champ Off-Road recap today. Bunch of cool people, man. We got, let's see here, Mickey Thomas is going to join us. And the show is presented by Maxxis. So thanks to the Maxxis guys for hanging out with us and being a part of the show. We might even have one of them call in. Adrian Cheney is going to join us, the Wild Man. Kyle Ahrensberg from Vision Canopies. Jimmy Henderson, sponsored by United Rentals. He's going to be hanging out with us a little bit. A lot of action at the Champ Off-Road Series. Dylan Parsons and Matt Gerald are also going to join us. Had some success as well. Really, really putting a lot of effort in their program. So I just want to, we're going to get Mickey on here, but I definitely want to thank all of our sponsors first. So big thanks to Maxxis for being a part of the Dirt Life Show. They've been helping support us, giving us the opportunity to be a part of a lot of the events that they do. Just really rad, man. I want to thank the Terrible Herps Motorsports guys. I don't know if you can see in the background. Dude, look at those ARs. Sick. I wish you guys, if you guys are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you definitely need to go watch this video. So thanks to the Terrible Herps guys. We've been doing a lot of work with those guys, and they let us use the shop to have a podcast today. So really, really cool. Mickey Thomas is going to join us in just a sec, but let me throw a shout out to all of our sponsors. So like I said, thank you very much to the guys over at Maxxis. Really appreciate all their support. The guys over at Wheel Pros KMC. If you guys need any tires or wheels, go down to your local, four-wheel parts dealer or whatever and grab some. Grab some Maxxis tires. Maybe you can get those new 37s for your UTV. Dinders Troy, what's up? Dangler, what's going down? Thanks to the guys over at Motul. So if you need to change your oil, I know you've been riding your trucks or driving your trucks around your UTV. So get your oil changed. Thanks to the guys over at JL Audio. They actually have some really, really cool stuff for some Can-Am UTVs. Thanks to the guys over at Shock Therapy. You can use the code DIRTLIFE at Shock Therapy. ShockTherapist.com and get yourself a big old discount. Thanks to guys over at Evolution Power Sports. Those guys are just making a ton of power at UTVs, so thank you to them. Thanks to guys over at Zollinger Racing Products, and like I said, Vision Canopies. Kyle's going to join us a little bit here. So let me get Mickey Thomas on here, and we're going to talk some short course racing. In Antigo, Wisconsin, for the Champ Off-Road Series. Really cool, actually, to see a lot of the short course guys getting back at it, man.
Hey,
Mickey Thomas, what's up, dude?
How's it going,
dude?
Not much. Yeah,
absolutely, dude. Thanks, I like your hat too, Maxxis boy. We're gonna see if we can get Chris Meyer to hang out with us, but we'll see what if he can come on a little bit later. So, dude, I'm so stoked that the season is kicked off now. You guys were in Antigo, Wisconsin this past weekend, and dude, it looked like everybody was fired up to go racing. Were you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, everybody in this Pro 2 field, they're so competitive, like some of the best drivers in our class. So you got to show up with your A game. We worked so hard over the off season, just like everybody else. And, you know, we had a really good weekend. Round one came away with a second, and then round two came away with the win. So just super stoked on the weekend. Put in so much work this year. Just good to come out. You know, come out strong and get
well,
a win.
And
so,
it takes a lot to actually do that, right? Like, we've talked a bunch on this show, like, all of the stuff, all the legwork that happens behind the scenes, like, getting ready for the season. So, when do you guys actually, like, start preparing before the race? Does this start, like, the day after the season ends, or do you guys kind of take a break and then start getting things rolling?
Yeah, I mean, coming back from Crandon last year, we took probably a two-week little break, kind of, you know, just catch up with everything, get everything cleaned up, and then we get cracking right away. There's always so much to do in racing. It seems like you never have enough time. No matter how much time you have, you seem to just use every ounce of it. So we try to kind of get ahead of it and, you know, get as much done as we can as quickly as we can. I feel like you can never stop improving with the race trucks. We start right away and honestly, well, we aren't done.
Thinking about improvements
week
like
before the race.
See these guys back here at the Terrible Herps Motorsports Shop, they're always improving stuff, right? There goes B-more too. But you guys, like, so did you guys change anything and do anything different on your truck? Like, was there any big changes that you made to make it so that you could get to the top step of the box?
Yeah, I mean, we're always making changes. Nothing major. Like, we had such a good truck last year. I won 6 races last year. So we didn't want to go in and make a whole bunch of changes. And, you know, we kind of were the truck to beat last year. But we did rebuild the front clip. We, you know, we tried some different things with gearing, converters, stuff like that. And it seems to have worked. You know, this truck was really fast this past weekend. Definitely going into Crandon with a lot of confidence. We won the last 2 points races there. So feeling pretty good going into the Crandon weekend. And hopefully we show up with a truck that's, you know, as good as it was last year. And we'll see. We got a few track layout changes to Crandon that they've made. We're not running back into the tree turn. So they're kind of. Yeah, exactly. They took that out. They wanted to make some changes, you know, which is cool. And so now we're kind of cutting up by the spotter tower. So it's a shorter track. So that's going to mix it up. You know, we're sitting here tonight thinking about gearing. And I'm actually going there to test tomorrow. So it's going to change some things up and you know, mix it up a little bit. So we might have to make a little adjustments. But tomorrow we're going to see how she does. For me, typically, I haven't messed with it a lot. This year is kind of the first year I've been playing with them a little more. So I've learned a lot. Charlie at ATD has helped me a lot understanding torque converters and kind of the different options I have available. So this year, we've been testing them more and more, and I'm starting to understand kind of what works better where. So this is really the first year. Usually I kind of put a converter in. I've ran it for almost, you know, 2-3 years. But now I'm starting to change. Yeah, just let it rip. You know, I like to have a truck that's consistent, that I can learn how to drive. That's not, you know, kind of, I'm not relearning the truck every time I drive it. I can just focus on my driving, but I think I got to the point now where, just was due for some changes and to try some different things. And that's what we're doing so far.
It's sign of a good truck, right? You can just get in and keep running it, right? Like, it's funny because, like, in the moto days, we would have these badass race bikes all built, but our practice bike was more comfortable. And sometimes we could just keep getting better lap times on those things because you're just so used to it. So I totally understand the mentality of not having to make a lot of big changes.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, you got to stay ahead of the pack. Everybody's always getting better. You know, you don't want to show up on the back foot. So I just felt like it was right to start throwing chips at it.
And, little rundown. Let's see what we can learn. So, like, you get out there. It's obviously the first race. You got your jitters. You got, like, your uncertainties and anticipation and everything. You guys have to go out and practice. Do you have to make a lot of changes in practice to get ready for the race? Or were you guys pretty spot on when you got out there on the track?
Honestly, we were really close when we got out there. The track changed throughout the weekend a lot. When we got there, it was a little tackier, and then Sunday's race was way slicker than Saturday's race. So just kind of more than anything, rather than changing the truck, just changed my lines, started using the cushion a lot. It seemed to work really well. Obviously, it was important to get out front early. I was able to do that on Sunday. And from there, just try to stay clean, hit my marks. But honestly, we nailed the gearing coming into the race. I made a small tweak, nothing crazy. Went the right direction, and honestly, like, everything was just working really well.
Gearing and everything is on point. Like, yeah, and that's a good thing that you're going to Crandon to test it. What tires did you use this past weekend?
So I'm pretty much everywhere we go, unless it's raining, I'm on the Maxxis Razor AT tire. They're just so versatile. Like, everywhere we go, we do just minimal grooving. The guys over at Maxxis do a killer job just doing some little things to it to make it better. But honestly, like, that tire works everywhere. It's like the slick stuff, the blue groove. I can run up in the cushion. It's an AT, but it acts like a mud terrain, you know, and it's a killer tire. Like, honestly, can't ask for more. I love that Razor AT. We've been using it for 2 years now, and
I like it.
It's just been lightning fast everywhere we go.
It never tricks you, so to speak. Like, that's one of my favorite parts. And so,
yeah,
going throughout the weekend, then you get out there on, were you fast in practice, or did you kind of have to work your way up?
So I was P2 first practice, I believe. Then we went second in qualifying for the first race, finished second for the first round one. And then I started second row outside for Sunday's race and was able to work my way up front. So, yeah, we were kind of there right off the bat. And that's why we didn't throw a lot of crazy changes at it, just because we were close with pace and was able to get it done on Sunday.
It went well on Sunday because you had, like, it sounds like the track changed quite a bit. So, like, I don't know. It's probably like it feels like a whole different race.
Yeah, Sunday, I worked my way into second pretty quickly behind winner, Corey Wetter. Followed him for a few laps and was able to get underneath him in turn one and just, you know, nudged him a little bit out of the way, kind of did what I had to do. It was more of a one-line track, so kind of had to bully my way past a little bit. But once by, you know, just kind of running the cushion, like I said, it was kind of one-laned. And you know, if you just kept your lines clean and didn't make any mistakes, it's really hard to get around somebody. So I knew that once I got up front, and just, yeah, exactly. Like that blue groove, it got so bad on Sunday. The blue groove was so hard, and you just had that cushion line just way up high everywhere. If you came down off that at all,
I could just
drive off.
I wasn't able to watch the live because we had a bunch of stuff going on, but I can just see you like sprint car and around the corner. Yeah,
and it's just like pedaling it, you know, you just got to, that's the thing with these two-wheel drive trucks, like you have to have such good throttle control and just, you have to have a really good feel.
Actually, that's
how much wheel spin
that's
you're
a good
getting.
Question. So I've you got to race you quite a bit in UTVs, and that's like cheater style four-wheel drive, right? Like it's a completely different world. But so somebody like me that's never, I've only driven a Pro Light, so I haven't driven a Pro 2. And then everybody that's in the audience, give us a difference in like maybe the way that you drive with your feet and your hands between a two-wheel drive vehicle like that and a four-wheel drive like a UTV.
Yeah, I think four-wheel drive, you know, you're really kind of pointing and shooting. Like you're on the gas, and wherever you're steering, you know, the car is going to go that direction. Where a two-wheel drive, I kind of think of it more like you're kind of predicting what it's going to do because you're always in a slide. And so you really got, like, it comes down to really, really precise throttle control. Otherwise, you're just sliding and going backwards. So I think that's what separates the good guys from the slower guys, is just understanding how much wheel slip you're getting and being able to tone your throttle back to actually go forward. Because in UTVs, you can really drive them hard. Therefore, they're going to pull. You can hammer the gas. It's going to pull you out of the corner. In two-wheel drive, if you do that.
Yeah, it's crazy, Rick, because you're always driving with
and
like turning with your feet and stuff, too. Hey, real quick, I want to say happy birthday to Willem. This is his number 19 trophy truck that he prepares at the Herbst Motorsports Shop. I just want to say happy birthday to him real quick. And then we had Rosie. She said, she was out there and hanging out with you guys up there in Anago, huh?
Yep, absolutely. She helps us. She's at Maxxis, does a killer job. Everybody at Maxxis, they're so awesome to work with. Just an awesome company all around. Like their tires, everything. Cannot ask for anything more.
Proud
to be
Johnny Greaves just joined us. We wanted to send a big shout out to Johnny. Get well soon, buddy. He ended up having, I think Kyle drove his truck in the Pro 4 race, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, Kyle jumped in for him. Johnny had a big crash. Hopefully he's doing better. I think he's on the mend a little bit. But Kyle jumped in, did a great job, honestly. First time in a Pro 4.
John,
he was just hanging around like a veteran.
Can't believe, like, he's just such a savage.
For sure. He's not his first go around.
Dude,
like
I
this,
can't
man.
Believe
he's,
it. But yeah, lesson learned, right? You always give it your best no matter what position you're in. Even if you're off the track, you still support everybody around you. Johnny definitely did that. Hey, so were there any sketchy moments during Saturday or Sunday when you were on course, practice, race, whatever?
Yeah, definitely. Where Johnny crashed that turn four, it's super fast and the holes were getting real bad. I actually had a few moments there just getting on the bike. You know, you're 85 miles an hour through the middle of that corner. Jumping on the bike is not the best feeling in the world.
How is that? 85 miles an hour just getting the, like, and you're having to feel like you have to correct? You must feel like you're in slow motion by having to react so quick.
Yeah, it's gnarly, and it changes so fast. Like, it would be good through there one lap, and the next lap there's a gnarly hole that you had to avoid. And, you know, it just takes that one time to, like, catch an edge and push you over, and at that speed, it's not good, so... It was a technical little track.
What is the next race? Is it Crandon?
Yep. It's Crandon next weekend.
You're going to have your work cut out for you getting the truck ready to go then, huh? Because it's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, we're actually testing there tomorrow. We got the truck ready to go right behind me. But yeah, we're going to go test, you know, get our gearing dialed in so we show up ready to rip. But yeah, it's a lot out here, the champ season. You know, we're back to back, 2 weekends in between, so it's tough on the crew, but we got a shop up in Crandon now, so it makes it super easy, and you know, we're just doing the best we can to get everything dialed.
Oh, that's so cool, man. I love hearing that. Hey, so we only have I think about 5 minutes left. I would definitely want to give you some time to thank your sponsors, but do you think that there's a possibility you could show me the office that you worked in all weekend? Like, show me the cockpit? I would love to see that.
Yeah,
bad boy.
For sure.
There you go.
I can spin you around. Yep. They're set up right now. Nice.
Yeah, she's looking good, too. You got her all cleaned up.
Yep. Ready to go test tomorrow. Because
you definitely have to change some gearing, and you got to be able to keep a little bit more roll speed and stuff when you're out there at Crandon, because it's a completely different track than what you got at Antigo.
Yeah, absolutely. The gearing's way different. We're even throwing a different converter in it, tension settings, so it's always tuning. But we get struck for Crandon usually, and we're going to show up with what we always have had.
What did your favorite part of the weekend, other than getting the W on Sunday? Did you have some good times with your family and all your crew and everybody? Because, dude, I tell you what, like, I still have all of the memories of us all racing Lucas Oil short course together, but some of the best memories I have are sitting in the pits barbecuing.
Yeah, no, for sure. We always have a good time. I got a big Drew, but man, we have an awesome time just cooking. You know, everybody's got their jobs, and we get it done, and it makes it even better to go out there and win these races. So, yeah, just killer time out there.
You got it done. You got the W for all your crew and everybody that helped out. Because, dude, the amount of hours that go behind all this stuff, and you bring them a W, they got to be pumped.
Yeah, absolutely. So many people helped me out. Like, it's crazy. I got so many just talented people that help put this truck together. It takes an army, you know, to make a fast race truck. So just hats off to everybody that helps me. I gotta thank my whole crew, my family, my wife, everybody that supports me.
It takes a team, right? Do the teamwork makes the dream work. Well, you did. You got the dream done this weekend. You got a win. So yeah, congratulations, first of all, and congratulations to your whole team for being able to put in all that work and get you up there to the top step of the box. But now you got to focus on the next race, right? It doesn't last very long. You got to get going and start to get up to the top of the box at Crandon.
That's right. Everybody's always gunning for that top spot. So we got to keep putting our heads down and putting work in. And
it's another weekend, man. I can't wait to see you guys. All right, we'll kick some ass when you guys get out to Crandon, dude. And yeah, we'll see you then. All right.
Right on, Ricky. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So we are going to get the wild man, Adrian Cheney, on here. And then Kyle from Vision Canopies. We'll get him on as well. And we'll talk to them about all the fun that they had out there in Antigo as well. So, Kyle, what's up, dude? How are you?
Good. How about you?
Doing awesome, man. So, Kyle Ahrensberg from Vision Canopies. Hey, thanks for being a part of the Dirt Life show, too, dude. Appreciate it.
No problem. Glad to be
here. Yeah. So we're going to get the wild man on here. We can see if he can log on. I just accepted him. We'll see if his phone can let him log on. But, dude, short course racing is in full effect, dude.
It is. Yeah, we put a lot into it this year. We're, you know, trying some things. Business is growing. We're trying to expand our footprint in other areas besides you know, Southern California and desert. So a lot of opportunity to try to help some people out.
Yeah.
And got a really good crew this year and a really good team and everything like that. And my racing, I'm not doing as much short course racing as I was hoping, just with the time commitment. It's really hard with you know, changes in my life right now with a new baby and stuff like that. But trying to give back to some people and trying to make this make a nice footprint in short course racing and try to expand our reach out to the Midwest.
Yeah, totally. Well, let me see if I can, Adrian, I don't know if you're watching, but see if you can update your app and get the latest Instagram app. So update the apps on your phone, and then it'll let you join when you hit the request. So I already accepted you, but if you update your app, then you can join the feed. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the racing, Kyle. So first thing I want to say is thank you very much for... So there, we got Adrian now. What's up, Adrian Chaney? How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're good, good, man. So are you back in California, or are you still up there in Wisconsin?
No, I'm back in Marietta at the West Coast shop. The crew is back in the Midwest shop trying to get ready for Crandon.
Dude, it's so cool to see. I was just talking to Kyle about it. Like, I love seeing all the short course racing coming up. And honestly, man, it looked like it was insane cool this past weekend in Anago. You guys had some serious battles.
Yeah, I was really excited to, and I was very nervous about the Pro 4. And I said that at, you know, after the race, I was very nervous because it's pretty out of hand what's happened to the Pro 4 field. Just got decimated with Kyle and Johnny being out. And and there was two other guys that went out. I forgot.
Scotty, right? Scotty and I'm not sure who else.
Yeah. I've taken so many blows to the head, I can barely remember my name at this point. Well, but
that brings light to the whole situation, though, right? Like the level of racing has elevated to where people are just really pushing it, right? So how did it feel like the pace this race compared to what it was, what you're used to in the years prior?
I was thinking about that with this Antigo track, in which I put a lot of effort. Both Kyle and myself, we sponsored this race at Antigo. We wanted to kind of really push the Antigo track because that's where my shop is in the Midwest is there. So we really want to have a good footprint. But between, you know, myself having a horrendous crash there last year, which almost killed me, and then Johnny having a horrendous crash this year, I mean, I've been at it 20 years. He's been at it 30 years. We've got over 50 years, yet that same corner, like, just wrecked us. Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering the same thing about that, you know, what is going on with, is it, you know, is it this something about these Pro 4 vehicles that they're just like super tippy or something? But the level of racing is definitely increased. The grip has increased. That track is somewhat treacherous and technical. I mean, just on that big sweeper, I don't know. It's really hard not to go into it fully charged at like 90 miles an hour or whatever we're going in there at. And then just any little thing can really just upset the truck because we do put a lot of body roll into the truck to get it to grip.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking to Mickey Thomas a couple minutes ago, and he said the same thing. Even in the Pro 2, he was going, well, probably not 90, but 85 or so in that corner. And he was scared too because it kept coming up on the bike.
Yeah. It's very, very sketchy in the turn. It's a clay, but it's only about 6 inches deep. We tried to get about 20 truckloads of clay to come in to cover that area, but there's only one guy in that area who actually has that red clay because the town won't let any other clay in there. And for some reason, he wouldn't let the clay go, so then we ended up having to just use the clay that was on the surface, which is only about 6 inches deep. And it just... But even if we would have put a ton down, I don't know. It's treacherous. It's tough. It's like because it's not a track that's there all year round that gets worked on and refined. It's just that basically it's like we bring everything in, set it up, and then you got to tear it all down. So it's a tall order to get it, you know, ready for the type of stress that we put on it with 1,000 horsepower, all four tires turning like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so we had a comment from John Lewis at Desert Squadron. Actually, the show is presented by Maxxis today, so you guys have to run some DOT Maxxis tires. Does that make any effect on it? But because you guys still have a lot of leeway, right? Like, you guys can still groove the tires. You guys can still adjust the amount of air pressure. There's still a lot of things that you guys can do to manage all that stuff.
Yeah, we're running 12.5-inch Maxxis tires. They're wide, and they've got really good grip. They're And we grew then for that. What we could do to make it less like as it was to, you know, hook or catch a rut is to grind the edges off. But, you know, you give up pace. So what you normally end up doing is actually sharpening the edges of the tire to get it to grip even more. But it's a double-edged sword. It's great when it's working. And then when it's, if it grips too much, it does its job too well, then, you know, in a treacherous situation, then you're going to be fighting it a little bit. So it's really, you got to make that judgment call. And, you know, I was talking to Chris Shaw about it. He's the guy who helps to, you know, groove and set everything up. And, I mean, he did a really good job. We had great traction. We got through the weekend without any, being sent over the wall. So everything worked out great. But it's tough. It's really, it's a science to figure out like what's the right groove and, to put into these tires.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and there's, like you said, it's the combination, right? Like, let's just say you do sharpen the edges. Well, it can be really good on the beginning portion of the race, but then when it comes in and it really starts biking, you have to, negotiate a lot different when the traction comes up. So it, like you said, it's a give and take. Like, there's so many different things you got to think about. It's almost like predicting the future, right? Like, you can't see all of the stuff that's going to happen, but you just got to guess and see what happens. Kyle, when you were looking at all the races and watching everything and supporting all the drivers and obviously the series, what kind of stuff did you notice about everybody, their anticipation, their anxiety, and everything at the first round?
Man, like, everyone was really going at it. Like, and that's probably explained, I think that's explained some of the, you know, with the track that tough and then changing directions in it and, you know, having to reset up a whole track there every time. So the track's going to act different than it may have the year before. But I think everyone was so fueled up to go out there that weekend. Like, they just went at it. Like, that was some of the best racing I've ever seen. Like, even the Pro 4 field, like, being down on car count, I mean, it was still insanely entertaining with Adrian and CJ battling. I mean, it was going back and forth and they're taking, you know, different lines. And that's what's so amazing about the Pro 4. It's not so single line. It's like, you know, every corner you have, you know, a few to choose from, and you could set up a passes, you know, a couple corners ahead, and it's just so entertaining. It's like watching a supercross race.
Well, it starts to get like a ballet, right?
It does. And there's so much more strategy to it with four wheels turning rather than two. And like, it was like super entertaining. Like, I was super pumped to, I wish I could have been there.
And I wanted to actually the race to continue. We're having such a good time on that center race. Because that's what, yes, we're there to win. That's the thing. But if you get into a good battle, that's just as good in my book anyway, to be able to go back and forth. That's kind of like the whole idea of racing is just that battle. And if we can keep it clean and not, not hurt ourselves.
That was so cool. You and CJ were so clean to the whole thing. You guys didn't touch at all. You guys were holding your lines, giving each other the space, but it was still an insane battle. Just as entertaining as if you guys were going banging off each other's doors.
That's like one of my favorite things to watch, because you can see that they're like three corners ahead in their brain, like knowing where they're going to go and knowing where the other guy's going to go. It's like magic.
Yeah. It's almost like working together a little bit.
We had a question come in from Everything Car Related. It says, Adrian, you could probably answer this the best, is what kind of suspension are you running? That is a pretty big factor in controlling body roll, as well as sway bars, anti-roll bars. You could also try stiffening the suspension a little bit. Oh, so we're getting advice now, a little bit too, to control it. Also, hi Kyle, Chenny, and Dylan Minier.
Hey, what's up, Dylan? We've been running King shocks for a long time, and the dialing in the shocks, we were actually there the week prior and had been dialing those shocks in at the track, so that they were working really well. But on that track, you have every condition. You've got mud, you've got dry slick, you've got clay, you've got dirt, you've got holes, you've got peaky jumps. So all these things you have to take into account when trying to set up for how you're going to run the track. But on a small track like that, because those Pro 4s, they're actually made to go on bigger tracks than that one. That was, you know, fun, tight racing. It ended up being good racing. They were made to go on those bigger tracks, but we end up making it so that it has side-to-side body roll. You kind of go softer on the sway bar to get it to move side-to-side to be able to make the turns otherwise, and also get some grip. Because as soon as you make the turn, then you've got to start trying to put the traction down. And if you make it so that your shocks are very stiff or the sway bar is very stiff, you're basically just going to spin.
Or push. I mean, Adrian, you know, have so much test time in the thing. Like, it's like, setup is so key. You got to find that fine line and have the right people to find it.
Well, like I've said before, like, 20 and 30 years of experience, it really helps. So, and I like your explanation too, because I can see it. Like, when you're talking about Adrian, I can kind of see it in my head when the vehicle is doing its, you know, rotating or oscillating. It's pretty cool to see that you guys have it set up like I said, like a ballet.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. We've got, really good guys that are working on it too. So this year I've started working with this guy, Mike Kraling, and Rena Votis, who is a longtime resident of Crandon. Case Gunderson, that's actually his hometown track right there at Antigo. So we were all out at that track getting ready for this season and trying to get used to that track and make it the best that can be. I'd like to actually see an over under on that course, because it's really set up nicely. We've got to bring in some sea containers and do an over under like in the stadium. That would be, I think that would be super sweet. Dude,
that would be super cool. Kind of like they have at Wheatland.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I think have at Wheatland. He wants to jump over. He doesn't want the option to drive over.
Right.
Yeah, he wants full commit.
Yep.
Yeah, so you just want to double.
Oh, man. Like the San Diego SST.
Basically, you put the containers there, and then there's no road, so you basically over.
Yeah, you're just if you're scared of the double, Kyle, you can't race. You got to go home.
That's how San Diego SST was that year that Adrian raced and then Royale'd. But yeah, I mean it was you had no other option. I mean it's like it's send it or talk of the truck.
Dude, that's not crazy. That would be cool though. An over under would be pretty sick.
Yeah,
I would definitely be into an over under. The thing is, because you have the all different classes running, you would have to put, a way that you could drive over it. You wouldn't have to sky it. Otherwise, the smaller UTVs probably wouldn't be able to make it. So,
or some of the stock truck classes and stuff like that. Yeah. Was there any sketchy moments that you had, Adrian?
Surprised? No. Well, you know what? They put a jump in there. Basically every time you took it, you almost, went end over end frontwards, and there's really wasn't that much you could do about it other than hit it, try to hit it in different spots. But that was in the Sunday race in the Pro 4 race. And that was sketchy because, nobody was lifting for it, but it was really upsetting the truck a lot, and it wasn't in there on Saturday. So that was probably the sketchiest, is just the severe nose overs and just hoping that it never goes just that bit too much that it then hooks and flips you over.
You got to give it some as much panic grab as possible.
You just got to keep the wheels going so that when the front tires do hit, they kind of pull you.
You definitely. Well, we all, Kyle, know that Adrian's about the science, because he knows about like jumping out of or trying to ski behind an airplane.
Yeah,
through the clouds and stuff. Kyle,
many factors.
Kyle, when you got to watch some of the racing, how rad was it to be on the sideline supporting everybody and checking everything out? Because usually you're out there.
Yeah, I know. It was awesome. It was cool. Like I said, like we went Vision Canopy. We put a lot into this year. So it's really cool to see, like it on the track and the drivers out there and battling up front. I mean, with Adrian, Corey, Jacob Rosales, like all of them did so well out there. So it's just really, really cool and so happy to do it. Luckily, in a spot where Vision Canopy is growing, where I can do it. So I want to just keep it going and really bummed I couldn't be out there. But we'll be at Crandon, so I get away. Just that being so close to the 500, it was tough. But Crandon's awesome and I'm super stoked to go out there. So we'll be able to go out there and support. yeah, enjoy it firsthand, because online is cool and all, but it, dude, you got to be there.
You can't be firsthand, right? And it, so one of the things that you said kind of like got my brain turning. So Adrian, you've been around the sport for a long time, and Kyle, you've been paying a lot of attention because you're supporting these series. Adrian, why don't you answer this question? We'll let Kyle go afterwards. Did you guys get to watch any of the youth classes or the younger classes? Because I did in the gas series over here on the West Coast this weekend, and there's a lot of growth in those classes. And man, I tell you what, there's a lot of girls racing. There's a lot of really young kids racing. They're going through the UTV ranks, like going up the ladder. It was so cool to see. I don't know if you guys noticed any of that at Champ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the UTV is really what's going to make the sport grow huge. The fact that you can buy a UTV from like Race Driven or one of the other providers and just go out there with parts off the shelf. And if you, when you wreck, you can buy parts off the shelf. That's the difference maker right there. So that's why all those youth divisions are doing so well. So yeah, I watched some of them, and it's very exciting, and it's, you know, that's why I jumped into UTV myself. I mean, it's just like, it's so much fun. I mean, I personally love the RS1. Like when I'm not on the track, I'm running around in an RS1. I love the single seater one out on just whatever, you know, piece of land I can find. Yeah, that's the future. And I'm so glad that there's more of those divisions hopefully popping up or consolidating so that we have nice huge fields where everybody gets to run, and if they do something to the UTV, yeah, they can just go and buy a part and be on the track the next round.
Yeah, or switch with their buddy or guy, go by, find one at the next guy's pits or whatever. Kyle, that's so cool to hear, man, that Adrian, someone who's such a veteran and such a great driver in the sport, is paying attention to that. That gives you a lot of understanding and ambition as a supporting mechanism for these races, as a racer as well, but like as a supporting mechanism to be able to see the kids and be like, you know what, that little girl, watch, in 2 years, she's going to be sponsored by Vision Canopy.
Well, yeah, and it's like UTV is really safe. I think, you know, maybe my opinion, but I think they saved the sport in a way, because it's leaving longevity to the sport. It's very hard for everyone to go forward a Pro 4 or Pro 2, you know, especially being a beginner. You know, it's a big commitment. So, you know, to go drop $500,000 into something you don't know if you're going to be good at is tough. But now with these UTVs around, you can go drop, you know, a very, very, you know, reasonable amount in it. And there's so many classes where you can actually go. You can start in a sportsman class and you can work your way up, you know, and that's like me, like I don't feel super comfortable with the short course racing because I'm so new to it. Adrian kind of drug me into a little bit, but I'm more of a desert guy. But I am excited because, you know, there's so many different levels you can race on where I can go feel comfortable, and, you know, I don't have to go side to side with Adrian.
Does Adrian give you tips then? You go over to him and be like, dude, and Adrian walks up to you. He's like, dude, why are you going so slow?
His first race, he came to, it was Crandon. It was September in Crandon. There was like 40 guys. It was in the pro mod class, and they had just watered the hell out of the track. And he went through all of his tears. Every one of us couldn't see anything. And on the first lap, I was actually chuckling to myself. I was like, I can't believe that's his first race where there was like, it was like brownout basically the whole time. Yep. And I was just sucked. I was like, I can't believe that the poor guy's in this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was ridiculous. Basically, you drive, in that race, you were driving. When you hit somebody, okay, then you turn. Maybe I don't go there. Oh, yeah. That's how that went. Well,
Trial by fire, Kyle.
Yeah, the exact same thing the next day. And I was like, what the hell? Like, in the qualifying, it was perfect. Like, the track was perfect. And I, like, if no one's beside me, I was like, okay, I'm comfortable in this. You know, I'm learning this track during the car. Like, I was comfortable. But then lining up, and I qualified. The crappy thing is, I qualified good. I mean, the good thing and the bad thing. But then I was right in the heat of all the good guys. And I'm like, oh, crap. So we let go. And it's like, I would do 20 tear offs in one lap. And then Todd's on the radio, tell me what you do, and like I can't see a thing. I can't see my hands. It was just gave me a whole new perspective on short course racing and how hard it is. Like desert racing with the dust, you know, is tough. But I don't know if it's just because I've been doing it longer or whatnot. But I feel comfortable in the dust. Like mud, absolutely not. I need so much more practice. And like, but like with, you know, the UTVs and so many of them out there, I can go battle with people my own skill level essentially and still have just as much fun as, you know, people like Adrian that are battling at, you know, more professional level. You know, and then with the factory standing behind it too, you know, you got Polaris, you got Can-Am, you got Yamaha, you know, you got all these factories stepping up, and Honda now, you know, has a great program, with, Race Co and Dave Mason Jr. So you got all these factories stepping behind it, and that's, you know, I mean, look at the mold they're taking after, like the Supercross mold. Yep. I mean, it's just so going to be so beneficial to the sport, and it's going to make sure like we have drivers in 10 years, you know? And like I grew up playing hockey, and I was really good at hockey and traveled all over playing hockey. Hockey now is dead, unfortunately, because hockey did such a bad job of farming people to play hockey, because it's in areas where people could afford it, there was no hockey. In areas that people couldn't afford it, there was tons of hockey. So unless you have specific weather, you can't play hockey. And essentially that's what the sport of hockey is dealing with right now. So in 10 years, they're having a really, really hard time to field talent. And like, you know, that's my, you know, take on it, because I played hockey and that's an industry I really liked and had a good time doing that is dying, unfortunately. But off-road like racing
is not. I feel like short course racing and off-road racing is doing the opposite.
Exactly.
Kind of UTVs. Hey, real quick, Jason Montez, I saw him earlier today here at the shop. He said, Kyle, remember when we raced Trophy Lights?
Yeah. Yep. Just floor it until you hit something.
And then Mr. Flores says, hey, guys, she just joined. All right, we're going to get Jimmy Henderson on here, too, to talk a little bit about his race. Adrian, throw a shout-out to some of the people that helped you and just tell us about the funnest part of your weekend.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm really happy with my crew. And we got a really good crew. And we will see that it's all going to come together very nicely with Case Gunderson, Mike Kraling, and Rena Votis heading up the trio. Max Tires, been with them for well over a decade. Chris Shaw and Rosie came to watch the races, and she was crying. She was so excited about the races.
Yes. It's hype.
Talk about passion. I love that. And King, been with them for so long. Brett makes such a good shock, and we do everything with that. We spin upside down, flip around, do everything, and it lands us safely. Impact Race Products, and of course, right there, Kyle at Vision Canopy stepping up and sponsoring just about everybody, which is amazing.
Yeah, it is super cool to see the support, man. All right, Kyle, I know that we couldn't get a couple of your other drivers on, but you had some really cool people that you were out there, well, that you supported this weekend that were out on the track too. So throw a shout out, and then we're going to get Jimmy on.
Yeah, well, first of all, like Adrian, Pro 4, try to have, you know, a good heavy hitter in each class. Adrian, you got Corey Winter in the Pro 2, Jacob Rosales in Pro Light, and hopefully see me out there in the Pro Turbo, and Adrian out there in the Pro Turbo as well. But yeah, want to do a shout out to them and appreciate all the work they do. And it's been awesome. Can't wait for the next one.
I still want to know what Adrian's favorite part of the weekend was, but I will give you guys some advice. Let's just say you're a kid watching the show or you're listening to it on a podcast. When you see somebody like Kyle talking about Vision Canopy and he's thanking all these professional drivers and he was looking at you and he was seeing you race your UTVs, make sure you're putting on a good show. Be professional. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're trying to get up there on the podium and you're talking to him. And when you see him at the track, you go say hi.
So my favorite part of the race, or the weekend, I should say, other than my own racing, because you're in it, was watching the Pro 2 race on Saturday. That was pretty crazy, pretty fun to watch those guys go at it. It's a pretty stacked field. I really enjoyed that. So I enjoyed watching the talent those guys put on a good show.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. All right. Well, thank you boys very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys soon. I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boys,
see you guys.
All right, so let's see if Jimmy Henderson can come on. I'm gonna try to invite him and see if he's on here. So Jimmy, if you are on here, jump on. It's so cool to see that there's so many people supporting everybody. I really like that those guys were stoked on the youth classes. Like, it's just so cool for me to be able to see that. Like, these guys have been in the game for a long time. Jimmy Henderson, what's up, dude?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I can hear you better now that since you're a little closer to the phone. Hey, man. So it was pretty crazy getting back to racing this weekend. Antigo, Wisconsin provided a lot of entertainment. Some of the stuff I didn't see, but getting to talk to all these guys, man, it sounded like it was gnarly.
Yeah. Antigo, it's a tough track, you know, and they don't do a lot of grading during the weekend. So it gets rutted up pretty bad. And a couple of us got bit pretty bad on it. You know, Pro Fords are slinging it pretty bad. So we catch ruts pretty good, and you know, it's one of those things. But didn't go the way we wanted. You know, CJ was patient, did his thing. That dude just, you know, just out there chilling, driving, and just let all us do our stupid stuff.
Well, give us a little bit of a rundown. So tell us the classy race, and then also how much I want to know, like, the work that was behind the scenes that got you to be able to get to Antigo, because there's so much that happens.
So many late nights. So I run Pro 4 and Champ Off-Road. I'm racing this guy right here this weekend in Nitro Cross at Mid-America. So about that. Yeah, I just did a track walk. It is insane.
Really?
Oh, the track. I've never seen anything like it. It is wild.
Dude, it looks like there's a couple big hits too.
Man, this track's gonna change off-road. I mean, that's just my opinion. I've never seen anything like it.
When you got out there, anything that made you pucker, like it was too big, you're like, oh shit, I better just go.
There were some stuff like, yep, we're gonna have to pin this one.
Really?
One of the hills, like, we were on a quad. So we were running up it on a quad, and I was like, I'm just going to slow down a little bit, like going up the hill, you know, and I was like looking at another part of the track next to it, and I slowed down a little bit, and I was like, almost couldn't get it back going, you know what I mean? So
yeah, because you're like, oh crap, I better pin it.
Yeah, you run straight up down. The turns are banked. Some of the turns are negative banking. So you got off camber, you got real, really steep camber. I don't know if this is a track we'll run, but I'm pretty excited. Like, if this track will run in Champ Off Road, but as far as Nitro Cross this weekend, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. John over at Desert Squadron said, yeah, Travis and the boys did a great job building that at Mid-America. Going to be awesome to watch. Yeah, we can't wait to watch it either. But, hey, so we're talking about the Champ Off Road series. We're doing the recap right now. It takes a lot of effort to be able to get any car, UTV, all the way up to a Pro 4 on the track, right? It takes tons and tons of effort to be able to get there. Do you guys have, like, a set plan that you execute on from previous races to be able to make the truck better for the upcoming season? And then how does it translate into, I don't know, when you first put the car on the track? Are you close, or do you have to make a bunch of changes?
Yeah, I mean, like, kind of going through what you're asking to begin with, you know, the day Crandon is over, we're pulling the motor out. Like, we get back to the shop, we wash the truck, we're pulling the motor out. The off season starts that day. You know, like Monday when the parade and all the partying's done, you know, Monday morning you're back at the truck. We have no full-time employees. So it's me, Cody Ladowski with Straight Line Machine. He keeps the truck at his shop. He works on it all he can. Pat Haas comes over on Friday, Saturdays works. I have a full-time job in Georgia. So I'm flying back and forth every weekend and just working on the truck. So we're a little bit behind the eight ball compared to some of the other teams. But, you know, we managed to get it done. You know, we do a really good job. It is literally nonstop work the entire all season.
It's pretty wild, right? Hey, you're already getting some offers right here. As Anero said, Riverside Airport, my any aviation, I have a hangar of trying to modify plans. That's perfect, dude. People trying to support your off-road racing.
Yeah, man. I mean, we need it. You know, Max has stepped up big this year. You know, we had some things kind of fall through at the end of last season. And then we got with Max's. We were finally able to pull that off. And like Adrian was saying, Chris Shaw, Rosie, Chris Jenkins, all those guys are amazing. And that the program they have, the professionalism of their sponsorship is second to none. You know, and you've seen them with Johnny and CJ for years, and there's a reason why you stay with them, right?
Yeah.
And
I'm just so pumped. You know, I am so pumped to have them on the team. The product is amazing. Like, we went out to Antigo, and we were actually thinking about running the tires that we ran during the off season, which had 30 or 40 laps on them. We were considering running them on Sunday's race. You know, like, you know, do we need to use a new set of tires? Because these
look brand new. Well, not to mention, like, they probably did look brand new, but they got a little bit of the edge worn off on them. So you could use them in different conditions, right? Yeah. I don't know how to say his name, but Schutzman, 74 says, yeah, they're currently working on getting the UTV ready for Crandon as well. Yeah, so it kind of does just start, but this weekend it's going to be kind of cool for you to get a little bit more driving time. Seat time always helps.
Yeah, it's going to be great. You know, driving something a little bit different, more seat time I can have, better I'll be. I'm a little sick right now, so that ain't great. But, you know, just trying to get a seat of anything I can.
Yeah, you got to take your emergency, dude, so you can get out there and do your best.
Sorry.
Got to hit your emergency to make sure you can get out there and do your best, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're, you know, the Pro 4 race, we didn't have the turnout we thought. We only had about 6 trucks, so wasn't quite what we was expecting.
And so what? Give us a little bit of a rundown of the race, because we did the I heard from Adrian and from Mickey that there was one corner that was really treacherous, but there was a lot of different, I don't know, as the driver, maybe unknown is the right word, because you didn't know how predictable or unpredictable the track was going to be. Did something catch you off guard?
Yeah, I'm the big sweeper. I've been running the low line, so we were only a couple laps in. I stayed on the low line quite a bit because Pro 2s go up high. And they weren't grading the turn at all. So the Pro 2s were running up the high line. And I was actually behind CJ, and I was like, Cole Mamer's doing it, you know. So Cole pulled it off, and I was like, I'm just going to go up here and try it. Bad idea. I should have stayed down there with CJ.
Yeah, stay in the preferred line. And, dude, you don't have to sit there. You're more than welcome to get up and go, like, grab some water or whatever you want. I'll also talk about some of the comments and stuff that are coming in if you do want to go get some water.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it, dude. Smith Racing Off Road said, can't wait to see what the rest of the year has. Yeah, Team Maxis, dude. Let's go. Maxis is supporting a lot of the great drivers. Let's see here. Scotty Glass said, somebody give my man some water. Yep, he's going to get himself some water. But yeah, you can kind of see the trend here in, like, what most of the people are saying is that the track was gnarly. And I don't know if you guys are kind of hearing the same thing I am. I think as the season goes on, that more people will be able to change up their lines and understand how their vehicles are acting and kind of actually, like, I don't know, get better lines and start making the track happen a lot better. So, oh, Adrian, are you still there?
Yeah. Put me back on.
No, it's that. I don't know if the Instagram cut out, but it sounds like it's still on.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was paused or anything. If you just click on it and then you can hit the X at the top right.
Okay.
But yeah, man, it was cool to see, all those guys, talking about that. Cause you can kind of predict what's going to happen in throughout the season, because everybody had so much anticipation going through the first race of the year. Maybe they were getting a little too anxious. Who knows? So what was the vibe of the race? Cause we were talking to Chenny, and he was saying, you know, like, they were battling pretty hard, and it was almost like a ballet in the Pro 4 class. Did you get to spend a lot of time on the track?
No, we actually didn't. Day one of the guys broke an A-frame off the backside of a tabletop. We all collected into him. Took 3 of us out. So I was first lap. And then day two, you know, we made some really good, the track was really nice. So day two, we did get to do some running. Me and Kyle Chaney ran side by side for a little bit. That was a lot of fun. But they had like little fingers on the inside, you know, so you could run the outside and carry some speed. You'd have to go over the fingers on the inside. So the guys did a great job like making the track and designing the track. That was pretty cool. But the track still needed to be maintained throughout the day.
Oh yeah, obviously. Yeah, that's not great. You run a special tire combo?
I just ran the Maxis AT.
Did you do any special grooving or anything?
Do what?
Did you do any special grooving or anything?
Yeah. Yeah, we had some grooving. And this was our second time grooving a set of Maxxis tires. So we're still kind of playing with how we're grooving the tire and what we're looking for. But really, we did some Ford bike grooves and a steer groove in the front, and truck was really good. It was fast. We didn't have a transponder for qualifying that was working, so we didn't get a qualifying time. But according to the
way to go, dude. Yeah, I hate when stuff like that happens. How did that big rock get beside the driver's seat? What does that mean?
Oh, yeah. So when we flipped, I actually got a pretty good bruise right here. Nothing like Johnny's got, but I got bruised up pretty good. A rock hit the rock screen during the flip and actually blew the rock screen out, and it pinned up against my chest.
How big was the rock?
It was big. It's on my Instagram laying next to the rock screen, but I mean, it's football size.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy. Was it just sitting in the corner?
I guess it was just in the corner. I think it really happened because I felt the impact to my face, like my helmet, and my chest when I flipped. So I think when the top of the car or top of the truck flipped over, it actually blew it through there. So I think it was actually in the cushion. And then when I landed in the cushion, it pushed it up in my face.
Really? I can't find it on your Instagram. I was going to see if we could show people, but dude, that's crazy. Yeah. I was thinking about that earlier, how gnarly rocks are in short course. And I was going to ask you guys how crazy it is. Oh, hey, real quick, though, I'm going to stop and just say what's up to Kyle LeDuc. He just joined. Kyle, we want to wish you the best, bud. We saw all the support that you guys had at Champ Off-Road and throughout the whole off-road community. Just stay strong as you can, dude. We're all cheering for you, buddy. Going through all that, man, it's giving me chills just thinking about Kyle. We want the best for you, dude. So going through all of that gnarly roof and stuff, does that mean that you have to plan? Who was it? Mickey was saying that it was a little bit, I don't know what you want to call it. The track was way different on Saturday than it was on Sunday. So was it a different setup, a completely different story on the whole race days?
No, not really for us. I mean, the track was a little bit blue grooved and the dirt was pretty good both days, but there was a lot of rock in it. Same thing, when I was behind Kyle, I would run. I felt like I could stay up with the pack, and there wasn't very many of us, so I would run the unpreferred line just to stay out of the roost, because it was putting spots in my visor. I was running pretty quick.
Sometimes you just have to do that, right? You just have to take opposite lines. I mean, you do that in motocross. And plus, you're not ever going to pass anybody if you follow.
Yeah.
So the weekend was, I guess, overall a learning experience for you. What kind of stuff? I always like to qualify this for the kids, too, right? Don't take a bad weekend and let it get you down. Do something what do you do on a weekend like this? You guys didn't necessarily have a bad weekend, but you guys learn from it. You turn it around and you get to go on to the next race. What's your process when you have a weekend like this?
Yeah, I mean, mainly, we dissect what we did, the issues we had. We think about the transponder. Okay, what did we have? Why did we have issues with the transponder? How do we make sure that doesn't happen again? Setup was really good. There's some things we need to do on the big jumps to get the nose down a little bit because we're floating the nose. So we go through those steps, and this is before we ever left the track. We're going through that, and we're writing notes down on what changes we need to make to the weekend. And other than that, it's just washing the truck down, checking to make sure we don't have any cracks or anything in the chassis. This time we had to redo a good bit of the rear clip. So, Cody's probably at the shop right now working on that. We know the track. We have a good setup. We have a different set of rear shocks we're going to put on it for Crandon. And I can't wait to go to Crandon. They did a great job grooming the track. It's a purpose-built track. Preferably, Crandon's one of the greatest.
Yeah, it's going to be so awesome.
It's going to be so awesome to see you guys. One thing I do want to say, though, to just go back on what we were talking about is accountability, right? Like, you take the debrief very seriously when you guys get done with the race, because it's not always the truck. There's a lot of times it's drivers, but you have your own team. You drive the truck. You have your crew. You want to make sure that everything gets back to you, right? Like, tell me the truth, what happened on the track. I'll tell you what I did, saw in the driver's seat. You tell me what happened in the pits, and then you can take all that information and you can combine it and you can get better when you're moving into the Crandon race that you're so excited about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can blame it on the track all day long, but as far as a driver, I put myself in that situation. Me and my spotter talked about it, me and the crew chief. So Luke Stubbs is my spotter, would be on Redline. You know, we sat down, we talked about it. I made a choice to go outside to see if I could get a run on CJ. And I put myself in a bad situation. Yep. I shouldn't have done it. So that's one thing, you know, race one weekend, right? You know, acting like an idiot out there. So I could have been patient.
We would have been on the box.
But that's one of those things, though. As a racer, you take the opportunity when you can, right? Like, that's just how it goes. So I don't fault anybody for doing that, any racer for doing that, because you want to take advantage of the situation. Like, that's the way that a racer should think, right? But I do love the fact that you are accountable, because it makes you have a better time for you to learn and you grow as a racer. And I'd like to talk about this stuff, because so many young people that watch and listen to the show, it's very valuable information that you provide when you can be a young racer and learn from drivers like you, Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, and patience is a hard thing to learn. I mean, even at my age, it's still difficult to do it, and it's hard to think about it. That's why it's so important for your spotter to be talking to you about what that middle line looks like, or if you take it, you know, because you may, like, as a driver, you're like, I have a run on the guy, I need to take this spot, but it may not be the best passing corner.
You know? Yeah.
So exactly. Why not wait till a corner with less risk, right? Because I had a few spots where I felt like I was quick, and I was running different lines. Like, everybody was running one line where you go off the track, off the big track into the infield. And I really could have waited till then and ran the inside line and just took that line away, or had an opportunity to. It's lower speed. You know, you might bump and bang a little bit, but it's an easy pass. And that was the next corner coming up after we went down the straightaway.
So it sounds like pretty much you learned to understand that you need to exercise a little bit more patience. And maybe it was the first round. Maybe it was just the anticipation and the excitement level of it or whatever. But that's really, really cool, man. I can't stress enough to all the young people that are listening how much it's important to be able to understand how you can do better as a person and as a driver. Hey, so we're going to get Matt Gerald and Dylan Parsons on in just a second here. Owen Van Efferen, what's up, dude? Give us a little bit of thank your sponsors and your crew and everybody, and then we'll get Dylan and Matt on.
Yeah. I want to thank United Rentals. You know, couldn't do it without those guys. Maxxis Tires, super pumped about what this year is going to bring with them. VP Fuels, Beyond Redline, Dirt Lawrence Products, Straight Line Machine, Victory Signs. So all you guys, everybody that supports me, it makes it happen.
Yeah, that's dude. Team, right? So we're telling Mickey. All right, so now you got your other team. You're going to go out there and you're going to do some Nitro Rallycross, man. I can't wait to watch you rip up the track on that.
Yeah, it's tomorrow on Rumble. So you can check it out. Get the Rumble app. It's free. You can watch it. So we'll be tomorrow and Saturday racing.
All right. Hey, kick some ass out there, buddy. And have fun at Crandon, too. We're going to be watching that, too. So good luck.
Can't wait to get to Crandon.
All right, buddy. Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you.
Later, Jimmy.
Later.
All right. So let's get Matt Gerald and Dylan Parsons on here. I didn't see him just yet, so let me invite them. I love being able to get all this behind-the-scenes information from guys like Jimmy and everybody that's been on the show so far, because it really gives me an understanding of what other people can utilize the information to be able to do. So I think Matt's already joined us. Let me invite Dylan real quick, and we'll get going talking to them.
Hang on 1 second, Matt.
No problem.
There we go. All right, Matt Gerald, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you, George? Good to see you again.
And Dylan, what's up, dude?
What's up?
Dude, so there was I've talked to Matt a few times over the past couple months. There was a ton of work that you guys put in to the race program to be able to get out to Antigo. How high was the anticipation level?
Well, it was high. The excitement finally set in probably Thursday. Like, we've been working on this truck since, before Crandon last year. We had plans of starting on taking up the Mike Van Hovel shop, and we spent 9 months on this truck. So,
dude, that's a long time, right? So, we just asked all the other guys, how you prepare for it, the day after Crandon, at the end of the year, and then all of a sudden you're back into it, getting ready for the next season, huh?
Yeah, we had plans before Crandon even came, before we were racing Crandon, but we were already planning on for this year at that time.
Yeah. Does it make you feel like you're more prepared, or do you feel like, what's the vibe going into the race weekend?
I'd like to say we were more prepared, but there was still some things we weren't prepared for. Moving up to a truck has been a big step. It's just, there's so much more moving parts. Have to have more of a crew, and everyone's been a huge help.
Yeah, it's pretty well. And so let's talk about some of the help. So, Matt, you've been working on the truck and you've been working on the program. How have things been going?
Things have been going well. I brought in some of my old crew guys that helped out on my buggy team. And Dylan, it was pretty much just Dylan and his dad racing buggies for the last, few years. So I wanted to bring in a good crew guy that we count on. And we brought in Curtis, and he's rock solid. And, all the crew that help build the truck and everything. It's been going good.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how much work it takes, right? You being a racer yourself and kind of moving over to kind of the crew side of it and managing these race programs and stuff, is it a little different, you understanding that everything that you do, he has to have full faith in you?
Yeah, it's way more stressful too than just hopping in and driving. I don't put my body on the line anymore, but making sure everything is perfect and we have all the right people and tools and parts and everything in place and making sure we're 100% ready.
Yeah, totally. JP Remington said, yeah, you use more race fuel too.
Yep. We get it from
you. Can't get enough race fuel, man. If you just have to smell it just smells so good.
Yeah, especially VP.
Yeah, totally. Hey, good sponsor plug right there. Hey, so Dylan, what was some of the favorite parts of this weekend, because the anticipation level was so high?
Probably just finally getting out there and driving the truck with all the big hitters. We ran a race a few weeks ago and there was five of us and we were all kind of using that as a practice race, but this race was it was the big, it was the show, and we it was nerve-wracking, and I finally get in this truck, and Antigo proved to be a tough track. I flipped the truck on Saturday, so
yeah, way to go, dude.
Just driving it too hard into the corner and put on the bike, and then there was another truck there and I ended up on his hood.
Smooth. How was the truck though? Because the truck, in what I saw, the little bit I saw, I didn't see much. The truck actually looked like it was doing pretty good. Do you guys have to make a lot of adjustments?
A few little adjustments, some shock adjustments, just dialing in from our baseline kind of thing. And Mike Van Hovel gave us a good baseline to start with, and my knowledge of shocks and that kind of thing. We're going to get it figured out. It was just getting the rebound to start coming out, not packing. And there's a couple big jumps there that we had to style in for.
That's cool though, man. It just makes it seem like all the work that you put in the off season was worth it, right? Because now you're okay, well, now we have a pretty solid baseline setup and we can go to Crandon, one of the funnest tracks on the planet.
Yeah, for sure. I think Crandon, I've done well at Crandon. I think we can come into Crandon swinging now, after getting some more seat time. Driving this truck's been a big stepping stone. It's not like a UTV or a buggy where you can run the short line around the inside. You have to move your line out way more than you expect. You have to move it out two lines versus what you're running in the buggy and the side-by-sides.
Yeah, dude, totally. Well, in the buggy, it's a load side by side's a little less, but it's the buggy's rolling speed, and this is even more rolling speed because you have to be so careful driving with the rear end like that.
Yeah, for sure. And like the buggy had a cutting brake to kind of save you, and this doesn't, and you're get to the point and you're spun out like before you even know it.
Yeah, exactly. Matt, are you spotting for him, or does he have a different spotter?
No, I do all the spotting for him. So
you spot for him, do you have to anticipate it a little different since it's a different vehicle?
No, I spotted for Pro Lights before, so that hasn't been a problem.
No, I'm saying just since he's driving a different truck than the buggy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're figuring it out as we go, and luckily we have some good people helping us with that. So
yeah, that's cool. What tires did you guys end up running? Do you guys run the same ones that everybody else did?
So we started out with the Razor ATs, and Chris Shaw put in an awesome groove for us for qualifying. And it was a great tire. And we've been really, really happy with it when we tested and everything. Just when we came to the race, we did not anticipate them watering the living crap out of it. And we weren't set up for that. And that was on me. So, the next day we ended up running the Bravo 771 ATs, and Dylan was hooked up really well with those. So,
okay. So it gave you a little bit more traction, Dylan?
Yeah. Little bit more traction, a little different
groove. More groove. We just ran them on the rear, and like it was hooked up on Sunday.
Yeah, sounds like since it was clay, it sounds like maybe it helped clean out the tires a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Like the groove was, it had a wider open groove in the center, like all the way across, and they hooked up good. It was actually the same tire that won in Pro Light on Sunday too.
So. Oh, cool. Yeah. So like whenever I hear stories like that, I always think of like us racing, and I usually hated making changes in the middle of the weekend. Like I wanted the car to be the same, like don't change a tire groove or don't change any patterns or suspension settings. Mm-hmm. But I like when you guys come away with stuff like this, because now it means that you know what each feeling is like when you go into Crandon next time.
Yeah, for sure. Like spring Crandon's always super soft. So I'm not sure what we're going to show up to, I guess. Yeah. And what tires we're going to run there yet.
Yeah. But at least you know, like you have an idea of what both tires are going to do, right, Matt?
Yeah, we're a lot more prepared now with the tires, and big thanks to Brody Engelston for helping us out with tires. It's been nice having him. You know, we're able to look at his tires and what he's running, because he's kind of new to Maxxis too. So yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, vibe off each other. What were some of the sketchiest moments that you had, Dylan?
Well, probably flipping over on Saturday, but then like the triple. it was kind of a tabletop triple, but like you had to get over it. And like I was getting it, I had it perfect in practice and qualifying, and then come to the race, it was a little more, it was wet and we couldn't get over it. And I actually smashed my skid plate in on Sunday. Like just, I'm like, I gotta get over this thing. Like it's the fast way, but I just kept, it was rough. Like that actually hurt more than rolling over.
You just smack your back. That's crazy, dude. What about the racing? Like, were you pretty prepared for how fast everybody was going to be?
So half the field I've raced with before in the buggies and stuff like that. So like, I mean, we got, Tony Keepers and Paul Hayward. I've raced against them for years in the buggies. And so like most of us in the class, like we respect each other and stuff like that. Like I feel like we do. I mean, we're going to still throw a door if we have to, but like, I don't want to go smash into anyone. And I don't think there's many in the class that want to smash into each other either.
Yeah, especially when you have to, or you have your crew that has to work on the shit.
Yeah. I got them on a body this week, but that was my own doing because I wrecked that.
So Matt tells you, hey, you wrecked it. It's on you, bro.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Oh, that's hilarious, man. So there's a couple things that I want to talk about that were a little bit unrace related. So Matt, I have a final question for you, but Dylan, it's kind of cool to see like Matt transitioning into this new role with you guys. Well, new role, so to speak, with you guys, like managing the program and helping out so much behind the scenes, because he was a driver himself. And how cool is it for you to be able to get all of the advice, expertise, and be able to work with some of your friends too?
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. Like Matt, I think Matt's into it more than I am at some points. Like he's like, he asked me something. I'm like, I don't know. He's like, well, give me an answer. And I mean, I've known Matt, we've been close now, probably 5-6 years now, but my parents raced with his parents when he was a kid, but I don't remember those times. Like I'm so much younger than him, but
only 10 years.
Yeah. Well, 10-year-old at the track versus a 2-year-old at the track. Like,
I know, I'm just kidding.
That's hilarious, dude.
When I got into this, like, he's kind of been my mentor since it started. I mean, we raced against each other for a few years, but then, like, once he was not racing anymore, he was pushing me to keep do what I wanted to do. So, like, with the side-by-side a couple of years ago, I wasn't, like, I think it was last year, I wasn't going to race the full season. And he's like, dude, you got to race. Like, it's more seat time and that kind of thing. And then this whole program came about.
Yeah, it is kind of cool, though, to see. Like, I love seeing that because I tell everybody on the show always, and even in my personal life, it's the people around you that make you successful, whether you're racing, whether you're in a business, whether you're in school, it doesn't matter. You surround yourself with good people, then you can excel in whatever you're doing, right? So when I think about the program that you guys are developing and the people that you have integrated, it's really, really cool. Two reasons, because they're smart, but even more important, they're passionate about it.
Yeah, we're definitely passionate about it. I live for this stuff, and it's all I've ever known my whole life is short course racing. It's hard to walk away from it.
Yeah, totally. And then, so that's one of the things that I was going to ask you, Matt, is, you know, like, what makes you keep having so much drive to keep doing it? So if anybody hasn't seen, we've talked to Matt before, but Matt got hurt. He's, you know, broke his back, and he's still really passionate about it, even though it takes a lot of effort for him to get around at the track and do work in the shop. You still put 110% effort into it.
Yeah. You know, I just love the sport, and I love to compete. And I guess that's the thing. And I was telling Dylan this spring, and it's like, man, I just can't wait till we get this truck done. We can compete and see how we stack up against these guys. And, you know, I race to win all the time. And, you know, that's why I got, you know, I keep pushing forward. And, yeah, I love hanging out with my friends and doing this together with Mikey and Dylan and all the other guys that I help. And, I believe in Dylan, and I believe in this program that we started, that we can grow this to be something like kind of hopefully what Kyle Greaves has and some of those other teams. Hopefully we're knocking on that door, and we can find some partners to, step up with us.
Yeah, totally. And Robert Nash also said, you know, passion is everything, but that passion actually has to probably make you feel really good as a driver, Dylan, as well, because that means that, you know, no matter what happens, you have to obviously perform as a driver, but you have a team that's going to put in as much effort as you are trying to get on the podium.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I had to sit back and think about it. We had an issue on Saturday, and Matt's like, dude, look at all these guys that are helping you work on your truck. And like that put me in that perspective. I'm like, we had four guys trying to figure out the issue, and then I'm going to look for parts, and like, it was an hour before we raced, and we knew we had time, but it was just, we had all hands on deck, and it was pretty.
It's pretty cool to see that. All right, we're going to wind down the show here real quick, but so Dylan, tell me your favorite part of the entire weekend. Was it out on course? Was it in the pits hanging out, barbecuing? What was it?
Probably. There's so many things, but just finally getting out there and driving this truck, like trying to get more comfortable in it. It's been a big stepping stone, and like all the work that everyone's put in, like Matt, Mikey, Jace, Curtis at the track, like Curtis been a huge help. Like everyone being involved all winter at Flying Dutchman and here at FabWorks, just getting this truck on the track has been, I mean, it's pretty cool. Like, I mean, I have so many people that have helped out get this going, and I wouldn't be here without, I mean, Matt, like he pushed me to it. And I'm Mikey's been a huge help. Like, it's awesome.
Dude, it always helps having a hype man. Right. And then as Matt was, what was your favorite part of the weekend? As you, like, you can see this nice billet arm. Right here.
you wouldn't believe it though. My favorite part of the weekend was, I was spotting and qualifying. And, one of the people I look up to in racing is Charlie Sleavy, and he's down there sitting beneath me, you know, as I'm in the spotter's tower, and he's tapping me on the foot, telling me to, where Dylan could be a little faster, and we're making adjustments. And like, to me, that was the coolest thing. You know, he's my hero, one of my heroes, and he wants to see me do well. And in return, I want to see Dylan do well. So it's pretty cool. That was my favorite part.
Mechanism. the support mechanism that off-road provides, just, it always blows me away, dude. I love it so much because everybody wants everybody else to get better.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the occasional shitty person, but still, it like, it makes me feel so good. Like just what we're talking about, the whole family environment, dude, it's killer.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. What'd you guys eat?
Dude, I think, well, we had,
Kenny go bring Matt some of those on Sunday when I went up and spotted for side by side.
What was it?
What's that?
What was it?
The cheese curds. Like, from, like, there you go. It's probably got one of the best cheese curds out of any of the tracks that we go to.
Dude, I'm so jealous. All right. Well, if I get up there to Crandon, you guys got to show me where the bomb cheese curds are.
When you come to Crandon this fall and you stay with us, we'll hook you up with some cheese curds.
Dude, I'm probably going to want a cheese curd like the size of that rock that went into Jimmy Anderson's truck.
Yep.
All right, boys. Hey, thank you very much. Really appreciate everything that you guys do for the sport and for the industry. I'm so glad to hear all the behind the scenes stuff that you guys are working on, because it really makes me proud to have the Dirt Life Show, because I think the Dirt Life Show is actually helping educate some people to be able to really get their race programs going. And you guys are a key marquee of that. So I really appreciate you guys.
Yeah. And one last thing I just want to say, and I've been texting with him all winter long, is my friend Kyle LeDuc. I just want to let him know that we're all thinking about him, and you know, I grew up at the racetrack with him.
Yep.
And you know, guys like me and you, George, we never gave up with our battles and shit. So, you know, you can hopefully you can fight through it, and we're all pulling for him.
Yeah, we know that Kyle's never gonna give up. He's just gonna keep pushing forward, right? So yeah, we're all behind him and backing him. Hey, real quick too. There's a lot of Liqui Moly on the screen. We are sponsored by Motul, but Rob McClogan actually just joined us as well, and he's part of your guys' program right now.
Yeah, Rob's been a huge help, like with getting this program going.
Yeah, so it's cool. Kyle LeDuc, we're gonna sign off here. We love you, buddy. Keep fighting, and yeah, we really appreciate it, man. You guys want to throw any more shouts outs before we bail?
Sure. I mean, I just like to thank Maxxis. I mean, Chris, this weekend's been awesome hooking us up with tires. Ultra Wheel, Mike Vanhoevel at Flying Dutchman, Jace at Fab Works, where I am tonight. He's being quiet so I can be on this right now. He's trying to work still. FK Rod Ends, my family, like everyone, my dad, like he puts 110% into this, and sometimes he might not show it, but like he loves this. So
dude, the behind the scenes guys, sometimes they're so quiet, but you know they love it.
Yeah definitely. Yeah, also,
all right, Matt, you
also a few more lifetime scoring, JJ Insulation, Maxxis Liqui Moly. Just big thanks to everyone who helped. So
yeah, and thanks to Maxxis for being such a great part of the show. All right, boys, so what's next?
Granted.
Yeah,
dude, I bet you're stoked.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We're not running the full track, it sounds like, but it should make these pro specs thing pretty good.
Yeah, what's the deal? Like, what are they changing?
Like, you know, Dirt 1? Like, that track. Like, going around where the spotter's tower is now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think Mickey just told us that. Yeah, that's kind of crazy, dude. Yeah. That's going to be so different.
And it's not,
like, it's going to, honestly, it's going to change everything, because the momentum is going to be way different on the rest of the
track. It's all side by sides are doing that too, like that part of the track, like where they always
change everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be wild. What do you think it's gonna do, Matt?
I think it's gonna definitely even the playing field out a little bit, because you know there's been guys that have been testing there all spring and they got their gearing figured out, and I think you know, shortening the track up a little bit, and like you said, not carrying the momentum all the way to the gravel pit, the top speed's gonna be down a little bit, so it'll be interesting.
It's change the lines, your line choices and stuff, yeah, too, because those insides are going to be way more important, because you're not going to have all that speed around.
And the dirt is going to be super, super soft through there, because it's, no one's ran on it. So it's going to be, with all the snow that we get in the winter, and, you know, after the spring run races, the track will start to get harder, but right now it's going to be
so
really soft.
Right, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
The track's going
to, one last comment.
The track,
go ahead, Neil, I'm sorry,
in the spring than the fall. Like the fall, you get way more blue groove than in the spring.
Oh, just because it packs in. All right. So 2020 fit, Mom said, because of last year, I'm sure it's more of a safety thing. Well, it might be. Racing can always be safer, so we appreciate the Crandon people for doing what they do. All right, boys, we really appreciate it. Have fun and kick some ass at Crandon.
Thanks, George, for everything.
Yeah, no problem. We'll see you guys later. All right, so we're going to wind down the show. So I really appreciate all of our guests for joining us and hanging out. It was really cool to talk with them. Unfortunately, we couldn't be at the races, but it was cool to get all the behind the scenes. That really makes me happy to hear about the cheese curds for sure. All right, so thanks to all of our sponsors. Really appreciate Maxis for presenting you the show, and just it's so good to see that they're supporting so many racers, especially in so many different disciplines like desert and short course and all these different again racing disciplines. Thanks to the guys over at KMC Wheels. Please go support them. Like I said, if you can go down to your local four-wheel parts dealer and grab some tires or some wheels. Thanks to the guys over at Motul. Thanks to the guys at Shock Therapy, JL Audio, Evolution Power Sports, Soldier Racing Products, and Kyle at Vision Canopies. We really appreciate everybody. But most of all, we appreciate you guys for watching the show. So thanks. See you guys next week. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Dirt Life Show. See you next week.